I met a bunch of you guys. When was that? That was Monday night. How you guys doing? Doing okay? How many of you guys, show of hands, if you weren't there Monday night, raise your hand real quick. All right, cool. So a few of you guys, let me introduce myself just real quick. My name is John. Yeah, nice to meet you. I went to Illinois State. Yeah, I graduated from Illinois State. C's get degrees, and it was a miracle that I graduated. But so I was sharing on Monday night, just quick review, that Pete asked me to come. We've been friends for a long time, and to talk about this concept that I believe is a truth, which is that God did not create us to live small, insignificant stories. He didn't create us for defeat, but he actually created us to live heroic kind of lives in him. And this weekend, that's what I'm asking and have been asking that God would do, that this weekend some heroes would be born on this campus, that this weekend that God would get a hold of our hearts, perhaps in a way like never before in our life, and that he would lead us from where we're standing to this place over here that I believe is this heroic kind of life. But the reality is, there's a gap between where we're standing and this vision of living a heroic life. And so what it looks like for us to move through this gap, we really need to understand what is standing in the way between where we are and where we need to go. And I think the first thing is all around fear. Can you say that with me?
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Fear. I grew up in Roselle, and already by the age of 10, there was a phrase I would say quite a bit. I want to teach you this phrase. It went like this. Beat St. Charles. Yeah. I want you to try that with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Beat St. Charles. But we kind of keep saying it over and over, so let's try it one more time. On the count of three. One, two, three. Beat St. Charles. And as you can imagine, you don't even know where that is. As you can imagine, that began to like get louder and louder and louder. The reason I began saying this phrase at the age of 10 was because they were our rival in high school. And one day, I was ready to play football for Lake Park High School. And the reason for my existence was to
beat St. Charles.
Yeah, that was it. And so finally, I got my opportunity. I'll never forget this. I was a sophomore. And it was the kind of game, I mean, it was such a big deal that you really couldn't sleep at night, the night before the game. And finally, you go to high school that next day, and you're ready, you're wearing your jersey to school, and then, man, it's like, it's go time, right? And you get your pads on, and I'm just telling you, like, the pit in my stomach, I'd been waiting for this moment my whole life to not just play, but to beat St. Charles. And so all of us, we gathered around, and we were pretty afraid. I mean, this was a huge deal, and I'll never forget what our coach did. I'll never forget this. He said, boys, I want to show you something. So we left the locker room, we went down into the gymnasium, and there was this, it was like a big garage, kind of storage unit, with one of those doors like that. I don't even know what you call it, overhead door or something. And so we all walk into this really small, like a fourth of this room, storage area. We all walk into this room, and then he closes this huge door behind us, and it's pitch black. And we're like, I kind of like this, but I have no idea what he's going to do. And so he says, boys, I want you to get close. Like, all right, so we get close. And he was a good coach. He was a good coach because he knew what we were dealing with. It wasn't that we weren't prepared. It wasn't that we needed more passion. We had plenty of that. He knew what our problem was. And so he got us close into this very dark room. I'll never forget what he said. He said this. No fear. I mean, I get goosebumps right now. And he said it again. No fear. He said, no fear. And he just started doing it just louder and louder. Then we joined in, right? We're like, no fear. We're like, no fear. No fear. I mean, we were going absolutely crazy. I mean, we were shouting this as loud as we could. No fear. No fear. And then he lifted up the garage door, and we ran out there, and we got killed. I mean, we just, you know, I mean, we just got destroyed by St. Charles. It's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah. By the second quarter, there was a lot of fear, you know. And I think it's because, you know, our coach, he was a big presence. But to really live this kind of life where fear doesn't rule and reign, you need to hear that from a much bigger presence than a high school football coach. What's standing between where you are and where I believe God has called you to go is trust, a ruthless kind of trust. You know, we know, if you've followed Christ for any length of time, if you've read the Bible at all, you know, right, that we are supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. You've heard that before. Well, what does faith look like? Faith in real time looks like trust. Looks like trust. And what would it look like for us this weekend to catch a vision of a heroic kind of trust? Psalm 23, one of my all-time favorite psalms. If you have a Bible, you can open up there. If not, it's okay. I'll just recite part of it. We're just going to look at one little verse that I believe has significant, significant meaning in the life of those of us that are ready to live a heroic life with Christ. There's a guy by the name of David, and he's the one that wrote Psalm 23. And this is what he said: "Even though I walk through the darkest of valley, I will fear no evil." Have you guys ever heard that one before? I think Coolio made a rap song out of that years ago. Even though I walk through the darkest of valley, or maybe you heard it, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? What's that? Who? Weird Al Yankovic? Probably. I don't know. Let me know tomorrow. That's a super important question. Thank you for asking that. So even though I walk through the valley, or the darkest of valley, I will fear no evil. There's a valley out west. It's called Death Valley. You guys, show of hands, ever hear of Death Valley before? Yeah, this is the hottest place on the planet. It has the record hottest day ever recorded, 139 degrees. There was a time where over 200 days in a row, it was over 90 degrees. Death Valley is the worst place in the world that you would ever want to go, like on your honeymoon, if you guys were ever to get married, all right? Death Valley is a terrible place to drive through, and so many people try to drive around it. And as I was thinking about, you know, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or even though I walk through the darkest of valley, I will fear no evil, I was thinking about Death Valley. Like, you can Google it tonight on your phone. Like, look at some of the images of Death Valley. It's a scary place. It's a dark place. It's a hot place. It's a kind of place that you do not want to walk through. You want to drive around. But here's the reality. Psalm 23 was written by a valley walker. Psalm 23 was written by this guy, David. And Psalm 23 was written not at the beginning of his life. It was written towards the end of his life. David, not as a young shepherd boy, was writing, saying, "Someday, I'm sure, I'm going to walk through a dark valley. And when I do, I'm not going to fear any evil." He didn't write this at the age of 14 or 15 or 16. He didn't write this saying that, projecting out, "One day, I hope," right? He was writing this as an older man, looking back on his life. And when he was writing this, you can just imagine some of the valleys that he was thinking of that he did walk through. David was a valley walker. And if you're going to live a heroic kind of life, the reality is you have to learn and you have to come to this conclusion that you yourselves, you're going to be a valley walker. I mean, some of you right now, if you're honest, you're in that valley. I mean, I know you're here, but within, there's a dark valley. And you don't want to walk through that valley, do you? You don't even want to get out of the car. But this heroic kind of life means that we get out and we don't try to drive around it, but we actually embrace it and we walk through the darkest of valleys. For me, the darkest valley of my life happened at Illinois State. I told you guys on Monday night, whenever I pull into town, I'm filled with so many emotions. It's really the birthplace of my passion for Jesus. Road to Damascus, it's where the Apostle Paul, everything changed for him. That's what Illinois State is for me. And I get off the highway, it's hard to describe what I feel. And so that's the place, you know, after going into my junior year where God radically changed my life. I mean, it was incredible things that God was doing, but it's also the place where I walked through the hardest thing that I ever experienced. After my junior year, I had the best season of my life. Pete remembers this, I think. I led the Valley in hitting. I was a vote away from All-American. It was happening. You know, my dream was to play pro baseball, and it was happening like before my eyes. It was going to happen. And so I came back for my senior year, and everything was just going incredible. It really was. I was getting stronger. I was getting faster. My life was in a good place. I actually started going to Encounter finally. God was doing good things in my life, and it was December of 2002. I'll never forget this. We were in Redbird Arena, and that's where the weight room used to be. I don't know if it's there now, but we were testing. We were testing our bench press, and we were testing our squat. You guys ever hear of a squat before? Yeah, I don't know who invented it. It's the worst thing ever. If you've never done a squat before, what it is you put a lot of weight on your back and you squat, okay? And so I'll never forget that day I was trying to break my record. And so there was a lot of weight on the bar, and I'll demonstrate, all right? And I have Cedars of Lebanon. I really have big legs, okay? So after the third rep, I'm like, I got a shot at this, you know, to kind of hit my record. But on the ninth rep, like this, something in my back popped. Hang in there. You almost just threw up. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Christy's like, it's going to be okay. So on the ninth rep, something in my back popped, and I was able to get the weight back on the rack. I was able to get out of the weight room, and I went into the bathroom, and I began to have pretty much like a panic attack. And the reason being is, since age 5, this was my dream. Since age 5, it was to sign a pro contract, and everything and everyone thought that was going to happen, but I knew something just changed. And so I didn't say anything. And I went home for Christmas break, and I came back, and I tried to play through it by taking a lot of painkillers. I had a really difficult season. I understood what it was like to really feel humiliated because I couldn't do what I'd always done. And I finished the season, didn't sign a contract, and I went and finally got my back x-rayed, and I had broken the lowest vertebrae in my back. This was a dark valley for me. And every time I drive through the campus, I feel it. And, you know, it was in an instant I realized that I'd placed my future into the hands of a game. Most of you guys in this room, you're not going to walk through that valley, but you're walking through an equally challenging valley. For some of you, it's not the loss of a career in baseball, but it's been the loss of a friend. For some of you, it's been the loss of direction, or it's been the loss of purpose. For some of you, the valley that you are walking through is deeper and darker than you ever anticipated. And here you are in the so-called greatest years of your life, yet you could not feel any different than that. You don't feel like these years are great at all. I mean, the shame that you're carrying, the disappointment that you're carrying. I mean, if you were honest tonight, you'd say, yeah, man, I'm with this guy in Psalm 23. I am a valley walker too. As I look back on that valley, and as I remember the valleys I've walked through since, I know the valley does a couple things. First, it reveals some stuff, doesn't it, Valley Walker? It reveals who we've really placed our trust in. It reveals who our God really is. And for me, in 2002, I had placed my trust in myself. My God was a game. And for some of you right now, the valley you're walking through, you're realizing through this pain that you placed your trust in your identity. You placed your trust in your charisma. You've placed your trust in your intelligence. You made your family a god, or that guy a god. That relationship that was supposed to set everything right, it was a god. And in this dark valley, God is using it to reveal that things don't work out when we make other things gods before him. In this valley that we can't run through, I wish we could, we can only walk through, he begins to reveal some things about our own heart. It reveals some stuff in the valley, doesn't it? Also, it refines us in the valley. I wish there was a shortcut to living this heroic kind of life. I wish there was a shortcut to becoming this kind of man of God, or for you ladies, a daughter of God. Like, I wish there was a shortcut, right? But there isn't. And it's as we walk, not run, as we walk through the valley, that's when he refines us. That's when he molds us. He is shaping you right now. And for some of you, I want you to hear this. There is an expiration date on this valley. It's not forever, but it is for right now. There's an expiration date on it. But I'm telling you, in the midst of the valley, God is doing some of his greatest work in you. He's revealing some things, and he wants to build within you a trust, not in yourself, but a trust in him. And in this valley, he is refining you. He is shaping you into a warrior for him. He is shaping you into this kind of daughter that will choose him only. He's refining you in the valley. David said, even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, I will fear no evil. He goes on to say, because, I love this part, because you are with me. Think about some of the valleys David walked through for him to write those words. I mean, the valley of facing Goliath. I say that qualifies as a valley. You were with me. How about the valley of hiding from this lunatic King Saul? David was running, hiding for his life in caves. I mean, when was the last time you were hiding in caves for your own life? The answer was never. You've never done that. David's saying, man, you were with me. How about in the midst of his biggest blunder? If you don't know this, I mean, David is he's a warrior. I mean, he is a legend. He is one of the heroes of our faith, and at the same time, I mean, he made some big mistakes, didn't he? I mean, committing adultery and then killing this lady's husband, I mean, it was a mess. It was a mess. David's thinking of that valley, and you were with me. A lot of scholars believe that he's actually writing this while a civil war is breaking out between him and his son. Talk about a jacked up family. And I just have to believe that David is writing, remembering how God has been with him, and at the same time placing his hope and trust that he will continue to be with him. Even though you walk through the darkest of valley, you'll fear no evil. Not because you're really strong, not because you're really bright, and you are, but because he is with you. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. My 5-year-old peed all over the car seat on the way here. It was awesome. My 3-year-old slammed her head into the wall as we were trying to load up the van. That was awesome. I'm just keeping it real, all right? Some of you are like, you're ready to have kids. Really? And it really helps for me to talk about it. This is part of my therapy. Ben, you said it right, man. I've learned so much about our Father through my kids. And a few weeks ago, it was about 3 a.m, and I opened my eyes because I hear Hallie, my 3-year-old, screaming. And she's yelling because of a nightmare. Just having some nightmares. And guess who she asked for? Not me. She didn't ask for me. She's screaming because she's terrified, and she's asking for mommy. Now, let me hit pause. I know where you're going. And this guy is not an involved dad. You can ask them tomorrow. I mean, I'm super engaged. I don't think there's a dad in the world closer to their daughters than me. But I was thinking about this because I think, building a little complex. I'm like, why didn't she ask for me? And as I've reflected on it, I think she was asking for Kelly for a couple reasons. I think number one is because of Kelly's constant presence in her life. Kelly gets to stay at home. Kelly is with them all the time. And you'll meet Kelly tomorrow. She's unbelievable. I'm like, I think that's why she asked for her constant presence. And I think also because Hallie has become convinced of Kelly's love. What stands between where you are and where God is calling you to go is this valley of fear. You're not unique in that. I was afraid getting ready to play St. Charles. And the reality is, man, I've been afraid ever since. I'm afraid all the time. 366 times in the Bible, it calls us to fear not. Not because maybe we'll be afraid, but God knows us. He made us. He knows that we will continue to fight fear. But what is amazing is this, is that he promises that his perfect love will drive out all fear. And he promises us that even as we walk through the darkest of valley, we will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with us. Because he's with us. He's with us. He's with you. 100 times in the New Testament, it talks about Jesus. Different names for Jesus. My favorite one of all of those is the name Emmanuel. There's just something about that name. And if you know what Emmanuel means, you probably know why it hits me so hard and why it probably hits you so hard. It means God with us. God with us. And as we're beginning this retreat this weekend, my prayer has been for weeks now leading up that God would speak to you and that you would hear from him and that he would speak directly into the valley that you find yourself standing in right now, and that maybe even right now you would recognize that you're not alone. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is one of the greatest things that you could ever become convinced of, that you are not alone. There will never be a valley that you walk through on your own. Followers of Christ, sons and daughters of God, they've never walked through the valley alone, even if they thought they had. I mean, he has been there with them. If you're not a follower of Jesus, and that's some of you, you came here to explore, you came here to kick the tires, you came here to check it out, and you're in a great place to do that. I want to tell you, this is one of the most compelling reasons to give your life to God through his son, Jesus Christ. You'll never have to walk through the valley alone again. He's with you. I was sitting over here just praying, just saying, God, what are these guys dealing with? You know, what's the fear that's ruling and reigning right now in their heart? And I don't know what it is, but some of you, as I'm talking about fear, you're like, yeah, man, dude, that's it. And this talks for you as we start this weekend, for you to know that if the heroic thing's ever going to happen, if that vision's ever going to become real in our life, then right now we got to understand that God has called you and created you not to walk by fear, but by trust, by trusting in him. If we're ever going to move towards this heroic life, it's because we've come to this place, and we will continue to come to this place where we say, you know what? He has not given us through his son. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of adoption. That we're his sons. That you're his daughters. That he's with you in the darkest of valleys. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your presence in this place. You got here long before we ever showed up. And tonight, you want to call us back for some. You want to call us back to this place of ruthless trust in you. And for some tonight, it's a first time. Really placing their trust in you. Not being ruled and governed by fear. Instead, trusting you with their heart and trusting you with their future and trusting you with their past. God, I pray for the valleys that these students are walking through, these valley walkers. God, I ask that you would give them tremendous bravery tonight to walk through it, that they would even see from your perspective what you're doing in the midst of the valley, that you want to use the valley to reveal some things, and you want to use the valley to refine them. And we worship you tonight. We can worship you with intelligence because we know that this is true. That you've not abandoned us in the valley, but you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.